Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 214 for February 25th, 2019. If you have not had a chance to look at today's report yet, we're going to be talking about the 283rd report, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. If you'd like to get a copy of it, just go to timingresearch.com/reports and you can download the PDF or access the web version there. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time, but you can also listen to every episode of the Timing Research shows as audio-only podcasts now. And you can find those on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or whatever your favorite podcast network is. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have Jim Kenny here to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Great. Okay, David, good to be here today. We've got two other guests besides myself that are going to give you some insights onto what they're seeing and what they're thinking. By way of introduction, I'll start out with Gary of Sentiment Trading. And Gary, could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at Sentiment Trading?
Sure. It's sentiment timing. It's a weekly newsletter. I've been in the market for over 18 years now. I was a financial advisor, and from there just moved over to the publication end of things with our newsletter. But my partner is Woody Dorsey. He's a pioneer in trader psychology as well as investor sentiment. And that's our newsletter, pretty much. That's the basis of it. It's timing as far as when to expect the S&P 500 is going to reverse, and then we match that up with investor sentiment. That's data that he collects on his own, and he's one of the few in the world that actually collects sentiment data the way, you know, he does. There's not many people out there that do it, and that's really, I'm more on the technical end of things and letting them know where to look for the S&P, where to look for it to reverse, and that's our predictive analytics model.
Great. Okay, well, you'll have a lot to add, I'm sure, Gary. Next up is going to be Mark, who is from Brightline Trading. I got that one right. And Mark, give a little insight onto yourself and what you're doing at Brightline.
Sure. At Brightline, our indicator system is based on mathematical modeling. We believe that every single market behaves like a closed system. And what we're looking to do is define the forces that are responsible for moving price out into the future. Once we define these forces, we create indicators to track them. We put them in a multivariable equation, and then we optimize that equation. So what we're looking to do is to create a series of forward-looking indicators that give us a tremendous ability to determine where price is going to move out off the right edge of the chart. We don't really care where it's been. And we do very little analysis of price on our chart. We look at other time frames or other markets in order to determine how price is going to move. And that's going to be really, really a fundamental part of my analysis today in letting you know where I think the S&P is going.
Great. Okay, Mark, by way of introduction, I'm Jim Kenny, and I'm the content provider over at optionprofessor.com. And for decades, we've been doing seminars on the options, explaining the uses and the risks of the strategies, and basically breaking it down to three categories: using options as a hedge to protect your equity or to alleviate some of the cash risk in the market. Secondly, the limited risk speculation that the options offer. And then finally, cash flow strategies, which bring cash flow into the account. And all three of those obviously have a lot of moving parts, so we try to explain how that works as well. At the end of the broadcast, all of us will have a way for you to follow up and get more information. But right now, what we're going to do is get into the main first question, which is, where do you think the S&P will be trading this week between now and Friday? Always a tough question, but it's always asked, so let's see what we got to say. Starting out in the same order, Gary, what are you thinking on the S&P between now and Friday?
Lower.
Lower. All right. Yes. We'll come back. I think we come back to your reasonings a little bit later, but that's basically your feeling. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Lower by Friday.
Yeah. That, Okay. Yes. That's what I was told. You give it and then we come back around. I can explain, but yeah, lower is what we're looking at.
See, most people don't actually listen to the rules of the show. So they go on and on after they give their thing. So that's what got me. That took me back a little bit.
Sorry, Jim. I'll break the rules if you want.
That's okay. Following protocol. Very well. Okay. Mark, what do you hear here for the S&P between now and the end of the week?
I see it going higher.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We got a little difference of opinion and we'll hear both sides of the story. I think it's going to go up and down, so I'm on both sides. No. I think right now the market has a potential for possibly rolling over a little bit to the downside. Now, we didn't go over your confidence rating. Quickly, Gary, what was your confidence rating on your call?
I'm at 65%.
Okay, Mark?
You know, right in there, you know, moderate. I'd say 60 to 65%.
Yeah, mine a little bit tighter towards preponderance, a little bit over. So I'm like a little bit over 50% because, again, it does have very good momentum. And, again, it has broken above the 2,800 mark. Whether that'll be important or not, we'll see. But, again, going back to some reasoning, let's go into what factors do you think will have an impact, be it technical or fundamental, that would make that forecast come true. What are you thinking, Gary?
Well, a big part of ours is just our sentiment. It's been really off the charts. And the rule of thumb, when you get just too many that are leaning on one side of the tape, most likely they're going to get washed out. And it's not a trading indicator, meaning that it has to turn right there. But when you combine it with where we are as far as resistance, as well as some of the technical divergences that we're seeing in place right now, I'm definitely looking lower for this week. But overall, as far as an intermediate term trend, I think it's going to be a pullback that you're going to be able to buy the dip. But for the reasons that sentiment has just been, we had a 100% sentiment reading I believe it was last Thursday, whatever day that we had the huge rally. Mm-hmm. That was, we had a 100% sentiment reading, and they're rare when they come around, and when they are seen, the market usually does not push too much higher after that. Doesn't mean it has to turn on the spot, but like I said, we're running right into resistance area, and there does not look like there's a whole lot of gas in the tank to be able to push through it. And that's our reasoning for looking lower for this week.
Okay, sounds good. What are you backing up your idea with, Mark?
Well, if it's possible, I'd like to screen share and show my chart.
Sure. Absolutely.
Let me...
And if you want to leave it up there, since we're talking about the same thing, that'd be a good idea too.
Sure. Can you see that?
Absolutely. Everybody see that? Can you see that, Gary?
It just went off. It was just on there, but now it went off.
Yeah, it went off for me as well.
Okay, hang on one second.
Yeah. It changes by who's speaking. I could see it. Yeah, that looks good.
Okay. What I'm seeing in the market, one of the major indicators we use is a multi-time frame Laguerre oscillator, which is a really excellent assessment of momentum. And it makes its assessment from multiple time frames. It uses three time frames. Here's a Laguerre long, here's a Laguerre long. And along with that, we're seeing the market making sequential higher lows and sequential higher highs, just like this. Now, if you look at these dots, they're kind of squished together here a little bit, but these dots and these X's, what these are this is the E-mini. We're looking at the multi-time frame direction of the NASDAQ and the Russell. So when these markets move in the same direction, you've got a really strong trend. So every candle that has a multi-time frame direction above it, telling us the NASDAQ and the Russell are also moving in the same direction as the E-mini. I mean, it's sort of a neural net. We don't believe any individual instrument moves in isolation, that when risk is on, all these markets are going to rise. Now, taking the fact that we've got sequential higher lows and sequential higher highs, off the right edge of the chart, the Laguerre is now locked long, telling us that we've got strong upward momentum. I think that momentum is going to carry through this week. And I believe it's really based, and I think it's an irrational sentiment in that traders are looking at this China deal. They think that there's going to be a major breakthrough with China. And I think they're going to buy that rumor. And I think we're going to hear a lot of different events with that coming out this week, because Trump has got his people out there. And I think he's going to, I think along with him and along with the technicals, I mean, the market's going to push higher. But I think I saw an analysis in a report that I get of how much value there is in actually getting a trade deal with China. And it's worth about $250 million. And if you look at how high the market is going based on the news, it's so many fold higher that the addition to the economy based on a trade deal is, this is just an irrational move up. And what I think is, when a deal is made, I think this market's going to roll over. And I personally, I think it's going to roll over hard. Right now, though, I think as long as people are titillated and Trump is still pushing this thing and saying we're going to get great results, and we're still in this uptrend and stay in this channel, I think the only direction you can trade is long, and the multi-time frame assessment of momentum is still calling for a long.
Okay, that looks that looks pretty good. Gary, did you have something on that?
I do. I actually, can I show my screen as well? Because I have some stuff I didn't know when to do that. Hang on one second.
Sure. And afterwards, if you want to leave the S&P up, because that's what we're speaking about, that would be fine as well.
Okay, no problem. Can you guys see my screen?
Not yet.
No, it's not sharing.
Oh. Okay,
let me green button on the left.
Oh yeah, that's what I. Oh, okay, you know what? It came up.
Yeah, you have to select either a window.
Okay.
Or
Okay. Yeah. So hang on. Are you able to see it now?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's showing the.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. So this is. Okay. So this is really what we're looking at right here. If I don't know if you guys can see, because these the hangout thing is right in the middle of, okay, there we go. So what we're looking at is, it, the majority are going to get bearish on this market at the exact wrong time, and they're going to get bullish on the wrong time. But the thing is that where we are right now, with this made sense when we were hitting the 92, 94, 96, that was confirming the uptrend on it. It's when we started pressing higher with the gap ups and we started getting the 100% is when short term, we actually, along with the technicals on it, this is really our primary reason for looking for a pullback. And the pullback could be really decent, because just from a technical basis here, you can see this is the resistance part that I was talking about. And the pattern that's in play is actually an inverted head and shoulders pattern. So to see a 100-150 point drop, that the way this market's been trading, it's all in, all out, we could see it happen in a week type thing. But it, like I said, it's going to be a great buying opportunity. As far as chasing the long week, these numbers that we're seeing right here are, it's something that I wouldn't want anything to do with, just because of everybody is on this trade right now on the long side. And for the years that I've been following Woody and doing these sentiment charts with him, it usually doesn't end well when everybody starts piling in, especially at the end. We were long at the 2%, 0%. This is when we were buying. And then once we got into the 96 or the 93 in this area, this is when we stepped out. And now we were just waiting, and we started to get these 100%. Like I said, it's really it's the area that we're coming in, as well as with the these divergences. And this is a daily chart, and I think the bulls are going to have a little bit of trouble getting through this resistance right here, because we've gone straight up. And right now, if you just look at the 200 and the 50-day moving average, they're still on a bearish cross. So coming down someplace into that 2700, maybe even down to close the gap at the 2650 or somewhere in that range, I think it would make sense. It may not happen this week, but I think if we do see something like that, that will be, I think, a good time to look and to buy. So here's your record that you are looking for. So I just, I put
okay, that looks good. I just wanted to add, as far as what I'm seeing is basically a market that has had such a very, very large, are you there? Yeah, you want to keep it up there? Like, yeah, keep one of them up there?
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we obviously have had a very, very huge advance from December, and obviously we've used some of the currency that comes out of the China deal. How much more currency is going to come out of it? You know, only, you know, no one knows. But I do know this much. On a checklist, your moving averages are down at 26.25 on the 50-day, 27.47 on the 200-day. Now, the market is up here above 2,800, and the VIX has just peaked through 15. When the VIX has been trading between 10 and 15, historically, the market has been on a very nice sustained advance. When it's between 15 and 20, it can get dicey, and of course, above 20, 25 is when you go into the abyss. So my feeling is if the VIX, which was at 13.44 today and is already well above 14, if that goes back above 15, that I think would not be very good for stocks, because then it would be going into more of a not such a great mode for stocks. And then as far as the peak through to 1344, if it's only there for like one day and then we start trading between 15 and 20 again, then a correction down towards that 26, 25, 50-day moving average may be in the cards. But you don't step in front of a freight train like this just because the thing is overbought, because overbought can become more overbought. So you might want to look for some technical tool, maybe last week's low or some type of a low on the chart that gets taken out with the VIX correspondingly jumping back above 15 before you start thinking of anything about really it rolling over to any degree. But again, you know, the valuations are very high. We've had a very big move. The news on China may be baked in more than we know. And like I say, the indicators that were being spoken about earlier, sentiment and the VIX are indicating that you're at a stretch point. But again, that alone is just not enough reason to just jump in front of a new high on this move. Again, Tuesday and Thursday is sometimes reversal days. So let's see what it does tomorrow and then on Thursday, because those would be two of the days that the market might be most susceptible to roll over. All right. Basically, as far as this week, is there any kind of news events or anything else, any market levels that you guys think are very important as far as, you know, as far as a turning point in the market? Do you have something on that, Gary?
It's right at this where we hit today almost. I was telling our subs today that if you're looking to, you know, try to catch the high to short anywhere between above the 2810 up to the 2815 and put a stop at 2830, if you catch right, then you could, you know, have a nice move to the downside. As far as what would cause it, it could be the Mueller thing. I don't know what would cause it. A lot of these makes it the market go down or up. They come out of the blue after, you know, we're already heading to really the news cycle part that Woody follows with sentiment. And it's, I don't know what would be the event or the catalyst to cause it, but the 2815 is important because that we're probably looking someplace up into the 2852. But again, with the divergences and sentiment where it is, I don't think it has the energy to get up there.
Yeah. What do you see there, Mark, as far as some kind of a catalyst or something that you'll be looking at that if it occurs, you'll ring the bell as far as something's happening?
Well, I wanted to add that I totally agree with Gary. I mean, you know, his sentiment markers are telling us that this move up is really somewhat irrational, and that I think you're right. The news on China is actually overbaked into this, but I think again, like you say, you can't step in front of it of a freight train. This thing's got strong momentum to the upside. I mean, I see it riding that momentum up for the week. And I think it's just my gut feeling that Trump is going to milk this, you know, potential deal with China. And either he or one of his associates are going to continue with positive tweets, which is going to give this market a little more juice. But I also agree totally that the market is in for a little bit of a beating. And so I don't think you can go short. If you have to take a position, you really need to go long right now. But a week to 10 days out is when I would look for a substantial pullback. Once the deal is either codified or falls apart with China, I see the market really rolling over big, and that would create a really great buying opportunity. And so I agree with you on that
as well.
So I really base what we need to do this week, you know, solely on the technicals. The market is simply up on too much momentum. I agree it is definitely overbought. It's irrationally overbought, but I think, you know, we know it can continue in that direction forever. But it's eventually going to roll over once this deal, one way or the other, it could totally torpedo, or when it's codified, people will see, ultimately determine it's not worth this move up in the market. And the market's going to really take a beating on the news because it's really up too high on this rumor. So again, this week I'm long, further out than a week, I'm pretty bearish.
You know, one thing you have to acknowledge in the market is that. Yeah, I was just going to say the one thing you have to acknowledge in the market is that the market breadth has been very, very, very good. And that explains why you can go to these higher levels without Amazon and without Apple anywhere near their new highs. And these guys were only about 4.5% off the all-time high. You know, a couple of pretty sharp guys who I am familiar with, when we were down at 2350 and we made the turn, his strategy was to buy every dip until we got back to the 200-day average at about 2750. And that was an excellent way of approaching it. Then since that time, there's some Elliott waivers that I'm familiar with that thought that this advance now, they thought it would only go towards 2800 or so. So they are not discounting the possibility of making a run at that high. You know, that high is only 4.5% away from today's high. So that's nothing really tremendous. But, you know, you'd have to allow for something like that in your thinking, just in case there is that blow off and a test of that high, if we can go from here. But again, you know, like I say, it's when you're at the high of the move and you're guessing that it might be at the high, you know, without any evidence, it's always a rough racket. So, you know, again, if you could find something technical on a daily chart or something like that shows you some kind of reversal, and then maybe the sentiment indicators or the VIX indicators gives you some kind of a hint and you wanted to take a shot, you know, I could definitely see somewhere in the neighborhood of here to 2850 being a possibility. But you can't discount the concept that it could make a run at the highs, because the highs are not that far away. And the market breadth is showing a very large amount of participation in this rally, whereas before it used to be what, the FANG stocks and not much else. It seems like now a lot of people are joining in on the race. So it's a little bit different that way. With regards to the question of the day, I did want to go over here. And the question is what indicators influence your trading the most? In other words, things that you look at, what do you kind of find to be your go-to indicators when you're trying to figure out direction? And again, we'll go back and start with Gary.
Well, one of the things that I like to look for technical divergences. I use the price oscillator for that. You know, you could use my big thing when, you know, those indicators are of price. And as long as that's matching up with, you know, the sentiment and the technical turn periods that we're looking for, then I'd really just start using regular support resistance. I do Elliott Wave as well. I don't really publish it that much. I'll more just do it on a short-term basis, because it just gets confusing with all the little tiny minute moves, and I'd rather just stick with the regular ones that are there. But I price and more looking for divergences as far as when to scale emissions. Like I think, Jim, you were saying about the people who are getting long at 23. We did it at 2358 was our long entry. My target has been, and it still is, that I think we're kind for everything is said and done. We do have an important top date. That's the intermediate term part of it. And that's kind of why this pattern that I was showing with the inverted head and shoulders way well, because you'll get the majority that are buying this breakout, because the target is somewhere up in 30, and if it does double top, then I think we're gonna have a real unity. But the price oscillator
Okay, Gary, I think we might have lost Gary. Mark, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to just to answer the question regarding the type of indicators that you consider a go-to and influences your trading? You know, what type of indicators do you hang your hat on when you're trying to figure out direction?
Sure. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to just reshoot my chart here for 1 second because let me just find that little tab here. Whoops, here it is. And did I get it?
Not yet.
Hold on 1 sec. How about now?
Yeah, I can see. I can see your turn.
All right, great. It's really a combination of two. And everything that we do is based on a multi-time frame analysis. I think as far as momentum is concerned, I think the Laguerre is the best oscillator. In my personal opinion, it's better than RSI, it's better than stochastic, it's better than Williams percent K. And when you get this green bar, this is a multi-time frame assessment of momentum. And since it's not looking at price on the trading chart, it's looking at multiple higher time frames, it becomes a leading indicator. And you can see that it's associated every time with a nice move up in price. Again, remembering that price here is not creating this green line. This green line is assessment of momentum on two higher time frames. So we look at the multi-time frame assessment of momentum, which I find to be extremely important. And you can see on the right edge, although price is waffling a little bit, and multi-time frame assessment of momentum is long again. And the other is we want to know when institutions are participating in the move. And that's what so what we're really trying to do is track the direction of institutional money. And that's what these dots and X's do, because they're telling us the multi-time frame direction of the Russell and the NASDAQ when we're looking at an E-mini chart. And the only time you're going to get a multi-time frame move up on the E-mini, the NASDAQ and the Russell all together on this move up here is when the institutions are participating. And as has already been mentioned, you get great market breadth. You know, you get the mid-caps are participating and the Russell's moving up. You get tech participating and the NASDAQ's moving up. So they really help you take a trade. And right now you can see we've got institutional participation to the upside. The multi-time frame direction of the NASDAQ and Russell are long. So those are the indicators that carry the most weight for me. And I believe that all of them are demonstrations of the footprint of big money. When you get a multi-time frame assessment of momentum to the long side, it can only be due to the fact that the institutions are buying. And it's confirmed by the Russell and the NASDAQ direction on an E-mini chart.
Okay, sounds good. As far as what I'm looking at when I'm trying to figure out the direction is I definitely look at the moving averages and I try to look at the VIX as well. And of course, you know, everyone's looking at the high-low last of each day to get an idea of the momentum and things like that. But my feeling has always been that when the markets get way away from their moving averages or way underneath their moving averages, at some point they're going to gravitate back towards them. And the further away they are, the more that day of reckoning is getting closer. As far as right now is concerned, you know, my feeling is if you're in the market and you're getting good advances on your situations, that's great. But if there was a point where you might consider a hedging tactic, this might not be a bad point. So if you're in the market and you got a big, big jump in the stock and the call premiums are very high, this might be a time to investigate the collar strategy where you sell an out of the money call, take the premium and buy a put. And then at least you've bracketed your equity at this relatively higher point. And then, of course, accommodate a move to maybe 2,900 on the S&P, which means accommodate another 4% move or so. And then, of course, try to get some hedge in underneath. Also, just a straight married put. If you've made a big, big gain, putting a little bit of money into insurance when the VIX is at 13 or 14 may not be a terrible idea either. If you're not in the market, I don't think this is an excellent time to start tiptoeing into it so close to the all-time high, so high on valuations and so high on the sentiment indicators and the VIX being in a lower type area. So again, the VIX today went to 13.44. It's already around 14.25, and the market's still up on the day. So the VIX has made a 5% move or so to the upside while the market is still up. I don't know if that's telling us something. Certainly tomorrow and Thursday will probably get us the answer. But that could be action that is indicating a bit of a turn as well. So basically, like I say, look at the moving averages. They're based on time and price. They're not anybody's opinion. And again, when you get 20, 30, 40% above or below, certainly that's a neighborhood where you're going to have to start thinking about the other side of the fence. A couple of other things that I'm looking at, because every week I do look at what's coming up on the calendar. And this week we got a lot of housing stuff coming up. Case-Shiller is tomorrow. Housing starts, building permits tomorrow. Mortgage applications, pending home sales on Wednesday. And so you got some housing number coming in. That'll be interesting. GDP is on Thursday. Supposed to be estimating at 2.5% for Q4. And then we get into some of the consumer, which is obviously 70% of the economy is the consumer. So you got to keep an eye on him. Personal consumption for the fourth quarter is coming out Thursday. And then Friday, personal income supposed to be up 0.4%. Personal spending supposed to be up. So we'll have to see how these numbers play out. But I always try to keep an eye on the economic calendar because obviously that's very important. This week, obviously, we've got the China and the North Korea stuff going around. And we'll have to see how they all shake out. Are these going to be photo ops where they're just shaking hands and nothing gets done? Or is there going to be some meat on the sandwich? And that's going to be a very big thing. If people come away from the China deal or that they're just going with liquid natural gas and soybean sales and not much else behind the curtain, and this is really a photo op, then obviously that could be very negative for the market going into the next 2 weeks. But we'll have to see on that. I was wondering if anyone is... Gary back with us? Gary, are you back? Not yet. Okay. Mark, any kind of ideas going on in the market on a general basis or on a specific basis that you might want to share with the audience as far as what you see out there and a couple of different specific ideas?
I do. I actually have one recommendation, and it's actually an options position. And just let me bring it up on my stuff here. Hang on one sec here. Personally, I like Twitter. It's been consolidating. Its earnings gap for 11 sessions. Today, it broke out of the formation with a move over 32. And I think that move looks good for at least $2 of upside. So one of the recommendations I would make if you want to buy Twitter or if you want to buy Twitter calls, I would recommend to buy the March 15th 33 strike on Twitter at or below 70 cents. And I think that's got a real good shot at getting you $2 on Twitter. And that would be a really, really nice move on the price of the option. I mean, that's the best recommendation I have because I agree with everyone else. This is a very precarious position to trade. And you have to be really, really cautious. I see Twitter as good risk reward. But I don't see many other opportunities. I'm in a bunch of other options positions already, and they're already mature. But I see this as a nice new one and a good opportunity. If you can get 70 cents or less on the March 33, on the March 15th, $33 calls, I think you're going to get nice money. That's my recommendation.
Do you have any kind of an opinion on a stock that's in the news here today that many people might be wanting to think about, which is General Electric, which made that big sale to Danaher today? And the stock initially went up quite a bit, but has definitely rolled over a bit. Do you have any kind of a chart or a feeling on General Electric?
I do. You're just going to have to give me one second to look at all. I collected a lot of stuff on General Electric. And let me just bring it up. Hang on one second here. Because one of the things that I do to get an idea of where I look, and all they do is show you all the big options trades crossing the ticker. And I've seen a lot of trades on General Electric cross, and they're all bullish. They're all looking at they're looking at the March 15th $11 call, and they're real big purchases. One on General Electric here I see is the trades are a lot lower than open interest. So when they are, it's always a possibility that it's a hedge. But what I see on General Electric in terms of option positioning is I see that traders are more bullish on it than bearish.
And what do you call it? So you think when it opened up so high at 11.75, there's a lot of people wanted to fade it?
I do.
Yeah. I think they're starting to think maybe that they're liquidating the company as opposed to strengthening the company, huh?
Yes. I agree with you completely.
Yeah. I mean that could be one opinion. There's obviously many out there. Some people are saying they're reducing the balance sheet. That's obviously the good spin on it. And obviously the not so good spin would be is they're giving away things that people want to buy, which is probably the valuable parts of the company. And then basically what's left might not be the greatest portfolio.
Yep. I totally agree. I think you got it dead on. And
all right, let's go over what. How about one other one that came out here today, which was a what do they call it? A merger that was not well received. Hostile merger between Barrick Mines and Newmont Mining. Did you have
I honestly do not have any information on that. I'm not sure when I'm not sure when it came out, but it's that's just not something that I've really done a lot of research on. I don't want to really give an opinion on something I'm not really sure about.
Yeah. No, I just was wondering if you had any input on it or any feeling on it. You know, there was a big merger in the metals area between Freeport-McMoRan and Goldcorp. And so I think Barrick got a little nervous and just decided that they'd make a hostile takeover for Newmont Mining. And Newmont Mining, the guy, the CEO, was on TV and he didn't sound so excited about it. So these stocks had opened up and they had rolled over as well. So I just wanted to know if you had any other input on it. But that's in the news today, that's for sure. Any other stocks you're taking a look at that might be interesting?
Well, I have a few. And
what do you think of Intel?
Intel, actually, you know, I have about 100 stocks I follow. Intel is just not one of them. I can tell you what I do follow really closely. And some of my favorite positions. In fact, I'll give you my 10 favorite stocks for the year. I just have to find it on my desktop, and I made a really nice.
Do you want to pause for a second and see if Gary's back and wants to share?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Gary. Yeah, Gary, are you back? Hello, Gary.
I guess his computer's still not working.
One other thing while you're looking that up, I just wanted to interject. There's a few earnings reports coming out this week, Home Depot being one of them. And it was up at 193 earlier today, and now it's at 190. So there's been a little bit of a selling, nothing to write home about, but a little bit of selling in the Home Depot with the earnings reports coming out from a bunch of retailers here today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to just give you a quick overview on some things that I'm seeing as well. You know, we already talked about the S&P, that it had gone up. And of course, there's some potential of a rollover here after they announced this China deal, how much more leg in it because of the sentiment being so bullish going into it. But there's other things going on that has really helped the market. And that obviously was the Fed pivoting from they're going to tighten to they're not doing anything. And the Treasury note market on the 10-year is starting to edge back up a little bit. And I think the inflationary numbers that are going to come out regarding personal income and spending and all that kind of stuff and CPI numbers, they may change after this Q1. And if they change to the upside, then of course, that could change the dynamic in the interest rate market. And that could change the dynamic with the Fed, because people have gone from the Fed is going to make 4 hikes this year. And now they think there's going to be none. And obviously, somewhere between the two forecasts may be the truth. So again, the interest rate picture obviously also has an effect on the stock market. And if that interest rate picture turns a little bit more sour, meaning the rates start edging back up again and the inflationary numbers come out a little bit heavy, then obviously that could be also a trigger on making the prices change a little bit. Because again, valuations have taken a pretty good advance here on stocks. And so they're not cheap any longer. And if the interest rate picture were to sour a little bit, that would be a very big trigger, I think, for stock prices. Mark, do you have anything up there now?
I do. I'm just gonna read them to you. I don't have the technicals on them. I mean these are my favorite stocks actually for 2019. And the first one is called Zora, and the ticker is Z as in zebra, UO. And what it does is it allows big companies to go from a single purchase model to a subscription model. And they have really, really awesome software to do that seamlessly and very effectively. And that's really the new paradigm for selling products. It's really on a subscription basis. And they have an enormous number of customers. And I believe that that's a potential doubler or even more for the year. That's my number one pick. My second pick is cybersecurity, is Palo Alto Networks. And I don't think they can have a top 10 list, given all the problems that we're seeing with hacking of secure networks by China, North Korea, Russia, without having one of one stock. My favorite is Palo Alto. The other that I like, and I'll tell you, if you talk to any millennial, and sometimes you get great information from just talking to the people around you, and I've gotten some great picks like Dave & Buster's. I wrote up for an enormous amount just because I took my son to it's a cash cow, but I like Spotify. I mean, Spotify, once you join, it holds you. You create these long lists and you never leave. So it's got an enormous number of users. It definitely has competition from Apple and a couple of other companies. But I believe that Spotify is really in a great position to become the leader in this, you know, in this subscription. My next one is NVIDIA, and it is. I mean, for graphics processing and for artificial intelligence, I just think along with locking it out of my head, and I had a long-term call on it that did really well. Xilinx, which I would not recommend right now. I think NVIDIA is really the class player, and I think it's got huge potential this year to go up a significant amount. A little bit of a dark horse I like is Nokia. I think Nokia in the 5G race is obviously not going to pick up any American business, but I think it's going to pick up Canadian, European, Scandinavian business. And I see a lot of upside to Nokia in that 5G race, especially as government after government forbids, and I'm not sure even how to pronounce it, the company that China uses, Hui, which is rolling out a 5G network. Like Canada just said, you know, we're not allowing China access to our cellular phone, to our cell phone infrastructure. I think Nokia is going to be a big winner there. And I also really like Qualcomm. I think it's priced cheap. Its losses to Apple already priced in. And I just think, you know, it's got a lot of upside to it. So those are really my favorite stocks and my recommendations. And I have long positions in all of those stocks.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see if Gary's back with us again. Gary, can you
hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm on two different computers right now. I have no idea what happened to my. I was able to hear and see everything. I don't know why you guys couldn't. Why you couldn't hear me?
Your camera's on and we can see your feet.
I just turned that off. Okay. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened on that. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Well, you want to catch up on a couple of quick questions here, Gary?
Yeah.
One would be, what kind of indicators are you using to kind of impact your trading? What's your technical or fundamental things that you go to when you're trying to predict direction?
what I basically do, my the indicators that I use most are I try to use the price oscillator, and I really just use it off of divergences in the with the price. So if I'm in a trade, I'll be looking at different time frames as far as where price is and what's going on with it. So if I'm, we got long at, I think it was like 2358. And once I started seeing the bearish divergences happening on the price oscillator with the S&P, that's kind of when we moved to cash. We did move a little bit. We did miss some of the move up, but now we got into where the sentiment is. So really my two major indicators that I follow are the divergences from the price oscillator, and then match them up with sentiment, and then just regular, pivots and support and resistance. Those are, I try to eliminate everything else that's that just to kind of cloud up what I'm thinking, because whenever I try to guess what the market's going to be doing and assume something's going to happen, it 9 out of 10 times it doesn't. So I'll look at the divergences and then let price get me in and out of a trade, as long as they're all matching up with the predictive analytics model.
Okay, sounds great. And did you have any specific trade ideas that you wanted to share?
It's really the one that I would be looking at would be anything on shorting the S&P for a quick move right now, whether it be if you're trading options, puts on the S&P or whatever other instrument that you may use. I just, from where we reversed today, you can take the trade right now and just put a stop at 20.2817, a little bit above what today's highs are, and your risk reward is less than a half a point, and you honestly really could make 100 points on this move right now. The candle that's out there right now, it's a very bearish candle. It went right up to the price that I thought this market was going to reverse, and that was the 28.15. So for me, I think shorting whatever instrument you want on the S&P, do that right now, and then just put a stop above today's highs. And like I said, if you miss out on that and it doesn't work, it's less than a half a percent, less than a half a percent. And your risk is that we can get, a 4%, 3%, 4%, 5% pullback from here. And if you're in the options and you're leveraged on it, it could do very, very well for you.
Okay. And, the VIX itself has gone up about 7% from the low already and does seem to be gaining some momentum to the upside. So I don't know if that's going to be telling us that turnaround Tuesday will happen or not, but it definitely looks like something's going on, because the sentiment definitely has changed a little bit as far as the VIX is concerned. And as you were saying, the prices are moving away from the high today, not getting closer to it, right?
Yep.
Right. All right. And basically, I just want to do a quick thing in that what I read, or my opinion out of the Buffett report. The guy's saying that the valuations are very high for any companies that he thinks looks any good. So obviously, that tells you a little bit about valuations right here. And then the other thing is that on the interest rate front, he says if the long bond can stay at 3%, that's very bullish for stock. But he used the word if, and again, that may be an indicator that his confidence level of it staying really low for a really long time might not be there as well. There's a lot of action going on out there, the GE news and the GE action, so plenty to do. What I'd like to do right now is give you guys a little opportunity to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and if you had any special offers, maybe you could shout out those offers.
Okay.
Start out with Gary.
Okay. Hang on one second. I'm just sharing my screen. So really the offers that we're doing right now, we have a special offer for the people here. We typically, the way that our service works, it's $150 a month, but we want people to be able to test this out and see how it works. So we're doing a buy one, get one free. And it's a 100% money back guarantee. We've had a lot of, We've done one. One of the specials that we did that was at the lows and we were going long is that we guaranteed you we're going to make 150 points on the S&P or get your money back. So right now at this particular stage, because our predictive analytics model is kind of going two different ways, we had to remove that. But it's a buy 1 month, get the next month free. I guess probably the best thing to do is just I'll put it into this. I'll put the link into the screen because I'm not quite sure what's the best way for people to get it. But I'm going to just post it in here, and then if you can share it to the room, I'm not quite sure how to do it. But that's how you guys can take advantage of the special offer. And the good part about it is that the sentiment part of things right now they're really doing a pretty good job predicting what's going on, especially when you match them up with just regular support and resistance. And we're going to have some pretty big moves into when this intermediate term cycle ends, which still has some more time to go. But what we're looking at is the market not going higher from here by the time that high comes. So there's going to be a lot of points on the S&P. But I think we possibly have just saw the end of the easy money part of it. And things are going to get very, very choppy. And when they do, sentiment has predicted the tops and the bottoms, especially the bottoms, because whenever we get that 0 or 10% bullish reading or something, it does mark a bottom, especially when there's support there. So that link right there will give you access to our specials. I don't know if everybody can see it, but I just put it into the chat part of it right there.
Okay, great. Mark, what were you thinking as far as any special offers, or how can people get a hold of you?
Sure. Well, you can get a hold of me at I just wanted to project my charts for 1 second because I just wanted to show one indicator that we are running a special on that I find to be, you know, really, really helpful. And it's it's our multi-time frame Laguerre oscillator. It's an assessment of momentum. And if I could just show real quickly, because I can't put the link in, but I can, the link's really easy. If I could do that, click on there. I think, can you see it?
Yep.
Okay. It's www.rightlinetrading.com/modifiedLaguerre, MODIFIED LEGUERRE. Normally it's $5.99. We're selling it for $2.99 on this offer. And basically what it does is a multi-time frame assessment of momentum. It does not look at your trading chart or any price on your chart. It looks at any time frame, any type of instrument, and it really is an excellent assessment of momentum, and it really does call market direction. And it's very, very dangerous to trade against the multi-time frame direction of momentum. And also, if you want to come into the trading room for a week, just send us an email at info@rightlinetrading.com, and we'll let you in for free. And you're welcome to trade along with me. The room opens at 8:45 in the morning. I trade crude oil and the NASDAQ. This morning, we made $410 in about an hour and a half. So if you'd like to do that, that's totally free. No obligation, no nothing. Just give us your name and email address, and you're in.
Great. Okay, real quick, optionprofessor.com, that's the website to go to get the link to the weekly market update podcast, which we do every single Friday. And we go over the stock indexes, we go over the interest rates, the directions, we go over dollar, gold, and sectors such as financial, energy, industrial, materials, healthcare. So we got a lot to cover every Friday. It's free of charge, so you yourself, or you can send other people to the website, optionprofessor.com. You get the link and you show up on Friday. We went over by a couple of minutes here, but I don't think that's going to be too bad of a deal. I'm going to send it back to David. And I did want to thank Gary and Mark for being here today. I think we had a great show, got through some difficulties, but it was good being with you guys. And here's back to David.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, good show. And just a quick reminder to everyone watching or listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory, or you can also go to TimingResearch.com to get access to any of the past shows and reports there. Be sure to join us for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade. That's tomorrow. But tomorrow's episode is going to be right at 4 p.m. Eastern time instead of 4:30 p.m. So just a time change for this one. So so that Jeremy Newsom will be able to join us for the whole thing. So it'll be Jeremy and John Thomas tomorrow. And so you can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcast. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. Mark Sachs of RightLineTrading.com, Gary Dean of SentimentTiming.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.